The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
All right, guys, I can't believe we're at the end. Wow. Are your ears about to fall off? I can't believe for 2 days you guys have been listening. That's awesome. You guys are really, really, really amazing. All right, so my final thing that I wanted to talk about is living the adventure, all right? So that's what we're going to be talking about for this final time. By the way, here's the most boring life in the world. If you want to live the most boring life in the world, you know what you do? Is you become a Christian, and then you don't do anything. You just become a Christian and think you can't do all the bad stuff, right? Because you're a Christian, right? So you can't do any of the bad stuff. But you're not really living for the Lord. You just maybe go sit on the pew every Sunday. You know how many Christians do that? A lot. Too many. How many people do that? Too many. That was a great answer. Who said too many? Nice. Very true. I think that's very true. So that would be the most boring life in the world. Maybe the second most boring life would be don't become a Christian and just party it down. But, you know, the eternity is not so good after that. So that would maybe be the second most boring life. But the greatest adventure of all times would be to live the adventure full on for the Lord. God is a God of action, and He wants to use you for your abilities and purposes that He gave to you. He wants you to use those to glorify Him. And I can say, because I'm an old guy, right? I'm on the other end of you guys. You guys are like over here at Starting Life. I'm over here at just a little bit past where I should be. No, just kidding. I don't know. God's got... I'm just kidding. You know, looking back, I've got to say the biggest adventures in my life have been when I've just been following the Lord. I know it's hard to believe, but I used to be your age at one time. Yeah. Whoa. It's before they invented rocks and stones. Oh, by the way, I told you that I used to be the director at the Mount St. Helens Creation Center. You know what I got to do for my ministry? It was so cool. Is I got to give tours around Mount St. Helens. And the cool thing is at Mount St. Helens, this is how old I am, May of 1980, that volcano went a big old landslide, and it made a whole bunch of, sediment that wasn't there before. And so on top of 300 layers is the new ground with the new plants and all that stuff. And so I would walk people on the trails and point out all kinds of stuff at Mount St. Helens. You know what I could honestly say is that I'm older than dirt. I was older than the dirt that I was walking on. So that's how old I am. I'm as old as dirt. But anyway, my point that I was trying to make was when I was your age, I realized that living for the Lord was an adventure. By the way, I didn't grow up in a Christian home at all. I was the first one in my family to become a Christian. And when I became a Christian, I realized what an adventure it is. And I can tell you now that I've lived out my life, still living it, is that it has been the coolest thing of all is following God. So I want to encourage you guys. How many of you guys want to live the adventure? Anybody here want to live the most boring life? Oh. Okay, there's a few of you. That's great. Love the honesty. Hope it works out. Anyway, so, you know, I think of it like this, is that I would like to soar like an eagle. I want to be an eagle. All right? Matter of fact, there's a great verse that says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I would like to be an eagle. I don't want to be a chicken. And a lot of people live their lives in reality. They're supposed to be eagles, but they're acting like they're chickens, which makes them a cheagle. Sadly enough, a lot of people go through life as a cheagle. But I hope you guys don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to be an eagle. So here we go. Journal entry. Do I want to be an eagle? Why? Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right. I don't want to be a cheagle. They don't look good, a cheagle? No. How many of you have actually raised cheagles before? No, I'm just kidding. It's not a real thing, okay? There's no cheagles. What? Oh, chickens. Okay, she's going to raise chickens, but I don't think there's actually cheagles. All right, so why do you want to be an eagle and why? All right, going on. You know, James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Listen, if we truly believe God's word, if we really believe it, we're going to live it out, right? You can't just go, I believe it, and then you just don't do anything with your whole life and you go to church on Sundays. Maybe check in every once in a while. If we really, really believe it, it should be everything about our life. By the way, one of my favorite books in the Bible, you would think Book of Genesis, right? But it would be the Book of Acts. I love the Book of Acts. Also, let me see if I can find something real quick here. Okay, 2 Corinthians 11:23. If you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn there? All right, so 2 Corinthians 11:23, 29. This is Paul writing this, right? Check it out. See if this sounds like kind of an action-adventure movie. This is Paul following the Lord. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and in toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst. By the way, this, I don't know, is this sounding okay? In fasting often, in cold and nakedness, beside other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Does that sound like a life of adventure? Some people, when I read this, they go, that sounds horrible. It kind of does, but I think not even, well, yeah, because he went through a ton of trials, right? That's a great point. I've never thought about this compared to Job. That was a, okay, all right, very cool. But that's a life of action. And don't you think if I would have stopped Paul at any point and said, Paul, is this worth it? He would have gone, oh, yeah. Don't you think that? I think when Paul was in the middle of the action and adventure, he would have said that it was all worth it. Okay, let me change to a different scripture. Is Luke? If you can go to Luke chapter 14. All right, Luke 14:25. So this is Jesus out teaching, right? Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, did he want them to hate his father and mother? No, what's it mean in comparison to their love and devotion to Christ? wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid his foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build a wall and was not able to finish. Or what king going to war, make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else why the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Wow. You know what? This is for real, guys. I know a lot of you raised your hands and said, I'm willing to take it on as my own faith. So here's my next question is, have you guys counted the cost and are you guys ready to go for it? I don't know what God's going to call you guys to. I sure like the nice parts of Christianity, don't you? Fellowship with people and brotherly love. Hanging out with you guys has been awesome. But sometimes God calls us to some really hard things. I guess when we say that we're taking on our faith for our own, that means that you're ready to do whatever he calls you to. And some of it's going to be awesome. And some of it's going to be really hard. But in the middle of the hard stuff, I bet if I could stop you and say, is it worth it? You would go, oh yeah. But I guess I'm asking you guys, are you ready to go for it? All right, so here's our journal. What could it cost me to follow Christ? That you guys can be working on both. Here's the next thing is, am I willing to pay the price? All right, guys, I'm impressed that so many of you are willing to say, yeah, I'm willing to go for it. Just like Daniel, you got to decide that you're going to go for it or not, and you got to stick with it. All right, I want to switch over just a little bit, because if you're going to follow Christ with your whole heart and you're going to be his disciple and follow him in the adventure, you've got to be in the Word of God. And so I just want to pass on to something to you that I learned. It doesn't necessarily mean this is the right way to do it. I'm just letting you have just kind of a perspective on something, is we've got to enjoy the Bible. I don't know if you guys enjoy the Bible. Now, let me make a confession to you, okay? This is Pat getting super transparent with you guys. Although I'm pretty transparent anyway, but here we go. Maybe a little too transparent, I don't know. So, one day, I was reading in the Bible, doing my daily Bible study. Tell me if you've ever done this before. And I was doing one of those things where you read like a chapter a day, right? So here's what I did. Totally confessing this to you. I opened up the Bible and I turned to the chapter I'm supposed to read for the day. First thing I do, tell me if you've ever done this before. How long is this thing? Yeah. Have you ever done that? Oh boy, it's a long one today. And I did that. And all of a sudden I was convicted and I went, I'm bumming out over reading the Bible. But this is a long one. I don't feel like reading this today. So I told God, God, I'm sorry, I know this is your Bible, but I just don't feel like reading the chapter today. And I start thinking about that. Why is it that I'm just reading the Bible and trying to grind out a chapter every day, and I'm like just doing it just to check it off my list for the day? Okay, who else has done that? Oh, very good. All right. I mean, it's not good. I just realized what I'm saying. But you know what happened to me that day is I was sitting there and I was thinking about, why am I not enjoying this? This is God's word. And then I said, what if I enjoyed God's word? What if instead of making it that I have the rule that I have to read a chapter every day, not that that's a bad thing. Please hear me. That's a really good thing. But that day I said, what if I make a new rule and my only rule is that I enjoy God's word for the day? And all of a sudden, my daily Bible study times completely changed. Because instead of saying, I've got to read the chapter for the day, all of a sudden I begin to say, what things have I always wondered that I want to find out? And then I started going, you know, my only rule is I'm going to dig in and I'm going to start finding stuff out. Like, how does predestination fit with free will? I don't know. I'm going to find that out. And I started doing a Bible study on that. And then there was other things where I really kind of wanted just to find them out. And suddenly I just started realizing that all of a sudden I was spending like an hour or two in the Bible and going, oh my goodness, I need to quit for the day because I need to get on doing other things. And suddenly the Bible was coming alive because my only rule was, Lord, I'm going to come just enjoying your word today. And so maybe I want to encourage you guys to enjoy God's word. There are so many mysteries and stuff that you could find out. There's great stories in the Bible. The book of Acts is action and adventure. The book of Esther, God's protection of people. Nehemiah, the story of God returning home after the exile in Babylon. The four Gospels, the life of Jesus. Exodus, the story of God saving his people. I mean, there are great stories in the Bible. Maybe that's what would get you excited, is taking on one of those stories and reading about that. Or what about great mysteries of the Bible? What is God really like? What will eternity be like? How is the Jesus of the New Testament portrayed in the Old Testament? How do faith and works relate together? What was the purpose of the law given to Moses? Are there dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? What is the meaning of the different feasts God gave to the Israelites? All of a sudden, I started going, oh my goodness, there's so many things that I've always wondered, and I've never just thought through those things, and so I'm going to take them on and go for it. Yes. Yeah, well, here's what I would do, is I would check in with your parents and say, what kind of Bible study aids can I help? Because sometimes there's devotionals that you can read or maybe research that somebody has done, but you want to make sure that you're getting good stuff. And remember that those are just man's ideas, but sometimes those can help you to understand some of those harder passages. But I would really check in, check in with your parents and let them know what you're interested in studying. And maybe ask them that question and say, are there any things that you would suggest, books or something that would help me to understand that. There's great life lessons of the Bible. How are we to act? What commandments are we to follow? What things does God require of us? How do we please God with our lives? How do we have purpose? How does God want us to spend our lives? How do we treat others? So check out what I'm saying, because I don't want you guys to misunderstand me. It's important to read the Bible in context. So you still want to do that. But at the same time, why not take on some of the things that you've always wondered and just take them on and start reading those things and enjoy the Bible? I really encourage you to do that. For me, that was a life changer. All right, so question, what mysteries of the Bible would I love to uncover? Yes. Aha, listen, I'm going to give you an answer that you didn't expect, so now you'll get another answer you didn't expect. My answer would be, that's a great one for you to start digging to and finding out the answers, and I would go to your parents and I would talk to them about that, and I would start to encouraging you to start investigating that. By the way, that's one of the ones I took on personally, and I spent a lot of time working through all of that, and it was so much fun. So instead of giving you an answer, I'm going to say, have fun digging into that and finding out. How's that for an answer? All right. All right, everybody got that written down? Okay, switching gears again. This is huge for young people. How do I determine God's direction for my life? Now, here's what I've noticed that a lot of young people want to have happen in your life, because you guys are getting to that point where you're getting to be adults and you realize it's going to be time for you to do your ultimate big thing, whatever it's going to be for life, right? And so everybody is waiting for there to be harps and angels singing, and then a big cloud, and poof, and then an angel standing there saying, thus saith the Lord, you are to be a doctor. Poof. You are supposed to be a mechanic. Poof. You're supposed to be a farmer. Right? We're all waiting for that to happen. I want to let you know that there are times when I have seen some of my friends where God, from a very early age, has kind of shown them the route that they want. But let me tell you the way that I think it more happens, at least the way it happened in my life, okay? And God works with all of us different. But I noticed for me, it wasn't a big cloud and an angel announcing what I was going to do for life. But what it was praying for opportunities and taking them when they came. So it was a little tiny step and a little tiny step and a little tiny step. And God was guiding my direction, my path. And now when I look back, I look it back at my whole life and I go, wow, God had me heading this direction the whole time. You know what? I've had an awesome life of being in creation ministry. I've gotten to travel to all kinds of places. I've got to do so many fun things that I've enjoyed. And when I look back at the path, it was just me taking little tiny steps. I had no clue where I was going, but God was guiding me. You know how it says that he'll be a light unto our path? It's not like a spotlight that shows the whole road, right? It's like you take a couple steps. And so I want you to not stress out as young people going, the angel hasn't appeared in the cloud yet and let me know what I'm going to be doing. Instead, it's probably going to be following him with your whole heart and making right decisions and following him as he gives you opportunities. You know, we started off the Genesis experience talking about your talents. There's the parable of the talents. I thought I would read through that I'm going to read through it. All right, so if you get your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew 25. You guys all know this one, right? So remember, talents are actually their money back in the day, but that's what made the word talents in English. Okay, so Matthew 25:14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many other things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Wah, wah, wah. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, You know that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. At my coming, I would have received back my own interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, what he has will be taken away, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Someday God is going to take an account of what you did with the talents he gave you. And he gave all of you talents, just like we did at the Genesis experience. How many of you weren't at the Genesis experience? Okay. All right. So basically what we did was talked about how God has put talents inside all of us. Every single one of you is full of amazing abilities and talents, and it's God who gave them to you for you to use for his glory. So here's what I'd love for you guys to do in your journals. Why don't you write out, what talents and abilities has God given me, given you, me, which is you. You're me and me. Wait, that's so confusing. Yeah. Oh boy, that is a big one. I'm currently considering that at this very moment, strangely enough. Well, again, I think this is a great question to ask parents, but here's what I would say. Okay, your parents may give you a different answer. But what I've noticed is when the Lord is working in my heart, usually it's going against my flesh. Because usually my flesh does not want to do what God wants me to do. I've noticed that usually to follow God, I have to set aside my flesh. So that's usually one of the first indicators. If one day I wake up and say, I think God wants me to eat a bunch of ice cream cones, that's probably me. But if it's something where I feel like I have to die to myself, that's probably indicating more that it is the Lord that's nudging my heart to do something. Okay? So I guess that would be one indication. But I think that would be a great question for you to ask your parents. Yeah. Just go for the gallon. Maybe crunch up some ice cream cones into the gallon. There you go. All right, so this verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. So listen, for those of you that are waiting for the and then there's an angel standing there. Go on the mission field. You know, maybe if you just trust in the Lord with your whole heart and you pray for opportunities to use your talents and abilities and you follow through with those, maybe he's going to guide you the direction that you want to go. Just like it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. He will guide you to where he wants you to go. Okay, next journal entry. Here are things that come to my mind about how I can use my talents I listed. So think about that for a little bit. Think about the talents you just listed. What are some things that come to your mind right now about how I could use my talents for the Lord? Yeah.
Thank you.
I think so, because if God's calling you to do something and you're praying about it, he's going to provide you with the things that you need to accomplish what he's going to call you to do. So yeah, that's a great question. Is a lot of times it's praying and waiting on God to direct your path. Yeah. You know what? I have got friends where God provided much more than that for what God was calling them to. So if it's a truly God who's calling you to that, God provides where he's guiding you to. Now, if it's something that we're trying to do, maybe not. So, but you know, I've got lots of friends that God put something in their heart, and you know what? He provided. Matter of fact, one of those is my friend Ken Ham. I remember Ken used to talk about, we would go out to lunch, and he would talk about building a big museum and an ark. And you know what? It's so much fun. I remember going out to lunches with him and him sharing that dream with me. And now it's all these years later, and now there's an ark and a creation museum, and God provided all he needed for that. So remember, if God's really calling you to it, he will. Okay, yeah, please do. I'd love to hear. All right, so if you want to become stronger, what do? You lift giant tires. You work out. What if you want to become faster? What if you want to be a better boxer? What if you want to eat giant s'mores? No, just kidding. All right, just kidding about that one. All right. I'm just kidding. All right, you work out, right? You work out. And so I'm about to provide you with the workout manual for courage, because God calls us to be courageous. There are so many times in Scripture where he says, take courage, be courageous. God wants people that are willing just to go for it and to be courageous. So here I'm going to give you for free today the free Pat Roy workout manual for courage. All right, you guys ready? Here we go. Here's what it takes. Here's the workout manual. First, you guys have heard me talk about this during the Genesis experience. Pray for God to give you an opportunity to stretch your faith. You know, when I pray this in my life, God pretty consistently answers that one. You know, you could pray for new cars or whatever, but when you pray this one, God seems to be pretty much likes to answer that one in our lives. Dear Lord, please give me an opportunity to stretch my faith. Number two, watch for the opportunity. Number three, be faithful and take the opportunity. There is the workout for faith. And then the last one is repeat. By the way, here's what I've noticed in my life. If I pray for an opportunity, God will oftentimes bring one along. And then if I'm bold and I take the opportunity, you know what happens? Is the next time I pray for the opportunity, it comes a little faster. And then if I follow it again, it comes a little faster. But as soon as I feel like the Lord has given me an opportunity and I don't do it, it's almost like it goes quiet for a little while. And it's because I'm living in my flesh. And then once I repent and get back into it, I can start the cycle again. But I truly believe that this is the cycle of living the adventure. If you do these things, I think it will lead to adventure in your life. Okay, so this has happened a bunch of times. I could tell you a bunch of stories because God has been so good to me. But one morning when I was living in San Diego, California, here's the very street that I was on. I had just prayed, dear Lord, just the same prayer I had in Hawaii, but this is like about 20 or 30 years later. Dear Father, I am willing to do whatever you ask me to do today. If you have me to share the gospel with somebody, please give me the opportunity. And I'm sitting at the street light in my pick-em-up truck on this very street, and there's this guy crossing the crosswalk, and he looked kind of sad. He was at the crosswalk doing this. And I'm going, why is that guy so sad? And I'm going, wow, boy, he must be having a really bad day or something. I wonder what's going on with him. And then the light turned green for him, and it was still red for me. And the guy goes walking right past my hood of my truck. So he's literally like just on the other side of the windshield. And I'm going, wow, there's something really wrong with that guy. And like, I don't know, like I was so absorbed with this guy that like it's all I could think. And then he gets across the crosswalk and then he starts going down the sidewalk, down the street right there. He's walking down the street. And as I'm sitting there at the red light, suddenly I felt like the Lord was impressing upon my heart, please tell that man I love him. No. Lord, if that's you who wants me to do it, I'll do it. But Father, I don't want to do it. How do you know it's God? My flesh did not want to do that. This guy's going to think I'm the biggest idiot ever. Okay. I'll do it. Guy's walking down the street. I pull the truck and park down the street where I could park, because it's really hard to park in San Diego, California. I parked my truck, and I started walking back, so he and I are now starting to walk the same direction, and he's still going. And I'm walking, and I'm going, this guy's going to think I'm such an idiot. And then finally I said, well, if God really wants me to do it, why do I care if he thinks I'm an idiot? So the guy came up, and I said, sir, I've got to tell you, I'm a Christian, and I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you that he loves you. And the guy was like, what? I said, well, God wants me to tell you that he loves you. The guy was like, are you telling me that God loves me? I was like, yeah. And he goes, really? He goes, that's amazing. He goes, you know what was just going on? He goes, back there at the signal light, he goes, I was wondering if anybody even cared if I lived or died anymore. He goes, my life has been so bad, nobody cares about me, and I just wondered if somebody even loved me at all. And then the guy starts like just full on bawling. And then I got to share the gospel with the guy, and we spent a lot of time together, and the guy decided that he wanted to follow Christ, and there was a church that I knew of that's a really good church that's just down the street, and I got to walk him to the church, and I got to show him how he could plug into the church and start getting involved in the church there, and the Lord totally, like, it was just amazing, and it's because I realized that I just had to be available to follow the opportunity that God gave me. That's what I think life is about, is just living that cycle. All right, so journal entry, the faith workout manual. Hey, have you guys got it written down? Awesome. All right, so I've told you a bunch of times that I grew up in Chico, California, which is a town that was smallish enough that there wasn't a lot to do in Chico, California for people your age, and I was your age when I lived in Chico, California, so we did something called trestles jumping. Have you guys ever done trestles? Is that a thing around here? No? Is it a no or a yes? How many people trestle jump? Okay. Yeah, I bet you could. We should go. Yeah, that's what we did for fun in Chico, California, aside from cruising around on the lawn singing Fruit of the Loom, of course. For those of you who weren't here on the first day, they're going, huh? Oh, did you really? I love it. You mean since I told you the story? Oh, good. Yay. Okay, I love hearing that. All right, so that's what we used to do is trestle jumping. And so when you would be up on the side of the bridge, I still remember this because we used to trestle jump all the time. Is, by the way, when you would trestle jump, you would have to go up there and you would have to jump. And as you hit the water, you have to point your feet and you have to point your hands. You can't have your arms out. And you've got to lift your chin because if it's like this, the water slaps your jaw up against your teeth, and if you have your arms out, it will, and if you have your feet flat. One time, I remember I trestle jumped, and the pressure was so much that literally, it was funny, I trestle jumped, and all of a sudden, my shoes, the bottoms blew out of my shoes, and my shoes were up around my knees. So I'm trying to say that sometimes following the Lord and taking the opportunity, because when we pray for opportunities and He gives opportunities, we see them. Sometimes you have to be courageous to take them. And I can tell you that the feeling that I have sometimes when I have to take the opportunity to follow the Lord is like it was standing on the bridge. At that moment, you're standing there and you're looking way down at the river and you're going, I just got to do it. You don't feel like doing it, but you stand there and you go, I'm just going to do it. And eventually you just have to make the decision that you just step off and you go. That's the same feeling I get when I end up taking an opportunity that the Lord's giving me. By the way, do you guys want to go trestle jumping with me? Yeah. Let's do it. This is not me, by the way. Did you guys feel that? That's the feeling of the Lord saying, here's an opportunity. Is you just stand up there and you go, gonna step off. And you know what it is? It's total faith that God has got you covered. You guys get it? Does that make sense? All right, check it out. I love this quote by Mark Twain. Courage is not the lack of fear, it's acting in spite of it. A lot of times people think when you're about to do something courageous, when you follow up on an opportunity God gave you, that you have to wait until you feel like it's going to be easy. Guess what? That's never going to come. It's stepping off the bridge and realizing that it's not the lack of fear, it's just that you're acting in spite of it. By the way, some of the coolest things that have ever happened in my life have been when I stepped off the bridge, and I'm talking figuratively here. By the way, one time I was sharing this with some people, some youth like you, and my wife said, I hope they don't think that you're actually telling them to jump off the bridges. So what I'm actually saying is following the Lord feels like that sometimes. It's just total faith in God and saying, I'm going to take the step. Oops.
I mean, I want to trust you. I just don't. Jesus, I just don't trust you.
You don't trust me?
No, I mean, I want to trust you. I just don't.
I have an exercise that I think will really help.
Oh, okay.
Stand here and face this direction. Mm-hmm. Now, do you trust me?
No, I just said I don't trust you.
This is all part of the exercise.
Oh,
all
right. Okay.
Whenever I ask you if you trust me, you say, yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Even though I don't.
It's practice. So, do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Are you going to catch me?
Don't worry about that part.
Okay, that's the part I'm worried about.
You can do this, okay? Just trust me.
Trust you.
Fall back.
Okay, well, Jesus, I trust
Good.
You. Yes, I do trust you. I'm going to fall back. Woo!
Okay.
That's great.
Okay. Let's try this again.
Face this direction and keep your feet planted, all right? Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Okay. I'm going to do it.
All right.
I'm really going to do it.
Okay. Good.
Oh, Jesus, you really got me! I didn't think you were going to catch me, but you did!
Oh, that was great!
That was great!
You're ready for level two!
Level two, here
yes.
I come, baby! Woo! Whoa.
Okay, hold it.
Oh, you know what? You're too close. You need to move back.
Ah, right.
Okay.
This one's a little bit different, Laura.
Oh, okay.
Stand here.
Uh-huh.
But face me.
Woo! forward fall. Okay. I can do that.
Wait.
Whoa.
Okay. Wait for my signal.
Oh, right. The Jesus signal.
Yes. The Jesus signal. Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus. I trust you so much.
Good. Fall back.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. Especially when you do it.
Seriously?
Of course.
Okay, Jesus, I don't know if you noticed this, but there is nobody over there.
I know it looks that way to you.
It looks that way. It is that way.
You can do this, Laura. Just trust me and fall back.
Jesus, I can't do that.
We can do it together.
I can't.
You can't.
I won't.
Yeah, surprise ending. Bummer ending. That's the bummer ending. Yep, guys, you don't want to be that way, right? You want to fall back? That's what trusting Christ is like sometimes, is sometimes it doesn't make sense to our human brains, but you've got to follow him no matter what. All right, speaker challenge. Here we go. This is my challenge to you, is to live out the faith workout. So, right opportunities, what opportunities do I currently have for serving the Lord? What is the Lord calling me to after this week? I didn't think we had what we need to, so let me think here. I need one volunteer to come up here. All right. All right, right there. Yep, come on up. We'll see if this works. All right, Joshua, we're gonna blindfold you, so come over here. As a matter of fact, okay, why don't you step down there? Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, and I'm so sorry, you have to remind me of your name.
Hi.
Yes.
Audrey.
Audrey, okay. Audrey, I want you to listen to my voice and my voice only, okay? I want you to take two steps forward. Okay, I want you just to pivot to the right. Okay, I want you to step up and over something, so it's like there's a big old box in front of you. Step up and over it, over it. Don't step on it, step over it.
Step on it.
Okay. Pivot to the right.
Pivot to the
Take one step, small one. Okay, now you're going to have to duck down very carefully and watch out for your head because there's something in front of you.
No, there's nothing.
Okay, you can feel it with your head. All right, now use your hands and climb through like you're climbing through something. Use your hands.
There's already so much hardship in your life. You don't need to do this. You don't need to.
All right, now you can stand up. All right, pivot to the left.
Stop.
Take two steps forward.
There's better things to do with your time.
Okay, pivot slight to the right at a diagonal to the right. Take one step.
Don't you,
okay, take pivot to the left.
Just sit down.
Okay, ready? And sit down.
No, don't sit down.
Yeah, there you go. Let's give her a big round of applause. All right, you can take it off. Yay. All right, come up here for a sec. Good job. Thanks for being willing to volunteer. All right, so tell me, how did that feel?
Weird.
Weird in what way? Can you hear her okay?
So what way was it weird?
Well, it was kind of like you're insecure at the same time you're doing it.
Okay. Sometimes were you wondering if I was giving you good directions?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. And then did you hear Joshua telling you not to do that stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, so did that affect you at all?
No.
It didn't affect you. Okay, good. You were right on it. Awesome. All right, let's give her a round of applause. Thank you.
Guys, sometimes that's what life feels like. Sometimes that's what it feels like when you're following the Lord. He's giving you just enough light to know how to take the next steps, and you've got to follow. You've got to follow him. And you've got an enemy, just like we talked about, who wants to deceive you. And he's going to try and influence you and try and lead you the wrong direction. But that's what it feels like to follow Christ a lot of times, is you are just following him the way he wants you to go. That's the feeling that you get. All right, I think we're going to end out. You guys, you have been so awesome. I can't believe it. Here's what my hopes are, is you've been writing in your journals, right? I would ask you to maybe keep thinking about those journals, keep answering some of the questions we asked, maybe journal even more about things that you're thinking about, your talents and abilities and how God's calling you to it. I would just encourage you to continue to think through those things. And you know what? Those are great topics to discuss with your family, right? That would be something where you could sit down and talk to them about the things that we talked about this week. Guys, you have been so fun to be around. You guys are so encouraging. Thank you so very much. Can I pray for them before we part? All right. Father, I thank you for these students. And Father, I just pray that they would be bold and courageous, that they would live lives of adventure. Father, I pray when the enemy comes in to deceive them and to tell them that they do not have value, that instead they would remember that they're made in your image. And Father, I pray for all the talents and abilities you've given to them, that they would have a lifelong adventure of following you with those talents and abilities. God, I just pray that you would give them a life of fulfillment and meaning. And Father, we know it's hard sometimes. You're going to call us to hard things. But Father, I pray that they would persist in the face of opposition. I just pray these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you.
Once again, the Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording. Please visit them at learninghouse.ca.